This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on October 7, 2010. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Next matter on the agenda, draft advisory opinion 2010-25, RG Entertainment. We have Mr. Lee Goodman, counsel for RG Entertainment. Please join us at the council's table. We have a presentation from Peter Reynolds of the Office of General Counsel. I guess it's now good afternoon, and when you're ready, please begin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, commissioners. Agenda documents 10-63A and 10-63B are revisions of agenda document 10-63, which consists of two alternative draft advisory opinions responding to a request filed on behalf of RG Entertainment, Star Parker, and others. The requesters ask a series of questions relating to the production, distribution, and advertising of a documentary film. Revised drafts A and B reach similar conclusions in a number of respects, including that RG's disbursements for the production, distribution, and advertising of the film are not expenditures because they are for the bona fide commercial activity of a commercial entity, that RGE's production and distribution of the film would not be a coordinated communication with Ms. Parker, and that RGE's exhibition of the film in movie theaters is not required to include disclaimers. The revised drafts differ in a number of respects, most notably in whether the film and advertisements for the film qualify for the media exception. Revised draft A concludes that RGE is not a press entity, and thus neither the film nor advertisements for the film qualify for the media exception. Revised draft B concludes that RGE is a press entity, and thus all aspects of the production, distribution, and advertising of the film are covered by the media exception. The Commission received one comment on the draft advisory opinions. I would be happy to address any questions that you may have. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Reynolds. Any discussion or questions of Mr. Goodman? Commissioner McGann.
I don't know if I have questions, I may, but just to sort of start the discussion. As I understand it, it's a company that wants to make a movie, they want to license the movie. People may watch the movie, they may not watch the movie, who knows. But to me, this comes within the media exemption. Draft A, I suppose, this is draft A, I guess says that they're not within the media exception. Council also used the word exception, which I think is telling. And for me, this one illustrates, I think, the differences in how commissioners think and why certain words mean things. The media exception is not, it's not an exception. It's sort of what I said in the first AO. I mean, the rule is that we can't regulate. The exception is that we can. By calling it a media exception and putting the onus on a film company to prove that they're the media completely inverts the analysis, in my view. I've heard some say, well, we can't have the media exception swallow the rule. That's backwards. It's actually the fear is that the regulation swallows the ability to act. So for me, this seems to be media exemption. Supreme Court just had a case about a movie, and it seems like draft A has learned nothing from that experience and is going right down the same path of the government deciding who's the media and who's not the media. I don't think it's up to the FEC to decide that. Moreover, the analysis the FEC has traditionally used, I think, is outdated. It's been around since the 70s, and at the time, this is when the FCC was discussing whether or not the Brinkley Show was a candidate use or not that required equal time. It's a different era than now. The media has changed. It was easier, I guess, when there were three networks and a couple newspapers, but with the rise of bloggers and others and bloggers who call themselves reporters, even though they don't work for a newspaper, the line between who's the media and who's not the media has blurred significantly. In this case, it's concerning a movie, and whether it's the media exemption or the commercial transaction exemption, however phrase folks want to use, that gets us where we want to go to for the bulk of it. And I think there's some agreement on that issue. But I want to just briefly state where I was. I don't have questions for Mr. Goodman per se, because I guess we're assuming, for the sake of argument, that this movie contains express advocacy.
Commissioner McGann, just a bit of background. I want the record to be very clear on this point. When we first came to the commission, I was hopeful that the commission would have some procedure for taking a copyrighted item like a book or a film in pre-release that was going to be sold for a profit to be reviewed by this commission to determine whether or not it constituted express advocacy, because the standard isn't exactly clear to a lot of us, especially when you're dealing with a 90-minute film and you read the general counsel's opinion in the Fahrenheit 9/11 MIR, which contains some statements of express advocacy, but taken in its totality was deemed not to constitute express advocacy. And it was our hope that we could just bring the film to you, lay it in your lap, and you would tell us whether it's express advocacy, and we wouldn't have to answer all of these other questions, because they wouldn't implicate FEC regulation. And it turns out that the commission is uncomfortable taking something like that, a film, reviewing it to determine whether it constitutes express advocacy, without releasing the film publicly on the internet for everybody in the public to view for free. So only because we ran into that problem, we curtailed our request. And we've curtailed our request to ask you whether or not it constitutes express advocacy. And we don't think that it does constitute express advocacy under the Fahrenheit 9/11 standard. I want to make that very clear for the record. But for purposes, in an abundance of caution, because these companies want to comply with the law, we brought to you an assumption and asked you just to assume it is express advocacy. How would we comply with the law?
Thank you for that. That was my understanding, at least the broad picture that the movie exists, and the concern, though, from our end, is that the AO process is a public process. People get the comment. It's tough to sort of decide a question without that, and it would be nice if we could do that, but that's really something I think Congress would have to put into our procedures. Otherwise, under the APA, somebody else would come in and say, where's the movie? We want to see the movie. And I appreciate not wanting to make the movie public until you do, because, people may want to pay you money to watch the movie, and if they can just watch it on the FEC site. But so I'm correct that we're just assuming express advocacy. We're not conceding the point. So we're assuming the worst, and then you're asking, assume the worst, what then?
Yes, and just for the edification of the commission, because this is probably a broader public issue, we did offer to have the film shown here at the commission with public notice to anybody interested in this advisory opinion. The FEC is going to show this film at this date at this time and this date at this time. That would not diminish the commercial value of the film. But posting it on the internet for free public streaming would have. And so that is perhaps a procedural issue that the commission may want to address in the future. But to answer your question, yes. Assume the worst and tell us how to comply.
That's something we could do. It'd be time consuming. The movie's how long?
90 minutes.
Well, maybe it's a good movie. Sure, if we can see, we can watch Hillary the movie too.
Any further questions or discussion? Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have a lot to say. I think I'm exhausted from the first discussion. I support draft A. The statute does contain, we administer a statute, and the statute has requirements in it, and there's a specific provision that exempts media activity. I'm paraphrasing. And sometimes my one quibble, and I was just looking to see, and I couldn't find it quickly, I'm not sure how draft be characterized as it. But it appears that sometimes we refer to it as the media exemption, and sometimes we call it the media exception, and I think we got to get our act together and be consistent about that, because I think the last time we did this, we called it an exemption, and then I see we've got it as an exception in our draft. And I don't think it matters a whole lot. I just think we ought to be consistent. I was curious about one aspect of draft B, because it asserts that RGE has previously produced educational films, Lucifer and Super Capers, and I thought, gee, maybe they know something I don't know. So I looked up the film on the internet, because the internet is a great source of information. And let's see. Oops, sorry. I know Commissioner McGann likes visual aids. Here's the ad for the educational film Super Capers. Looks very colorful. Yes, colorful. Super Capers, a good guy with no powers. This is the description from IMDb. A good guy with no powers joins a superhero team with no clue against a bad guy with no shame. Storyline, would-be superhero Ed Gruberman, who possesses no superpowers, must join a team of misfit heroes in training known as the Super Capers. Having only faith, Gruberman must travel through time to uncover an evil plot involving some gold bullion, a fiery femme fatale, and a criminal mastermind with a dark secret about Ed's past. There's sample quotes such as Ed Gruberman says, "Hey, why don't you use your mind thing and pop open the trunk?" That sounds very educational. Then there's Lucifer, which appears to be a... it's not clear whether it's a full-length feature. It's a story of the fall of Lucifer, I think from his point of view. Some of the reviews are kind of entertaining. Short film is a terrible depiction of what a movie like that would be if done wrong. I don't mean to be rude to your client. But I was just struck by that statement, you know, the conclusion in your draft that these are educational films, because it seems to form part of the analysis of why they fit in with the same category of documentaries and therefore supports the media exemption in this case. It just didn't look, I didn't see any support in the record for that characterization. But having had my little aside there, I do support draft A, and I don't think I have a whole lot else to say about it. Revised draft A, I guess.
I guess this is. I'm going to echo what Commissioner McGann said. This could be an area where the way in which we see the world differs quite a bit. I was very. You know, however we want to categorize certain films, I think is a complete red herring here. I think I was very persuaded by what counsel said in his comments, that the cases where an organization's track record has mattered have involved avowedly political organizations attempting to comport themselves as traditional press entities for the first time in their existence, and then sets forth a number of advisory opinions where organizations that have no track record whatsoever and only announce general intentions about what they want to do next have been said to be legitimate press entities. In this case, and then he points out that in this situation with MCFL, Citizens United, you had organizations that were involved in the political arena for a very long time, who were then trying to transition in some way into having a role as media entities, and that in that case, looking at their track record is more of a relevant consideration. But here, there's absolutely nothing on the record that indicates that your organization has been involved in the political arena. And to me, that's the relevant consideration, is that if we want to look at track record, that's relevant if, you know, for the Citizens United and MCFLs. And here, however we want to categorize certain films, I don't know. Would we categorize the Screwtape Letters as an educational book or as just a work of pure fiction, just for entertainment? You know, we can. But to me, that's again, a complete red herring and beside the point. What's relevant here is what they have done. They have done legitimate documentaries. They've proposed to do further documentaries. And in the absence of something that tells me that they that they, I don't see this as, they're otherwise regulated unless we can find a way to kind of grant them relief from regulation. I see it the opposite, that unless there's something there that they're free to do what they propose to do, and unless there's something on the books that that I can see, which I can't in this particular case, that says that they're subject to regulation, I think we have to take their characterization on its face. So, and again, in light of the track record they do have, I mean, if we want to look, I think that this media entity question turns into an interesting one in that you're when do you become a media entity? When you start doing what media entities do. So you're a media entity when you're a media entity. It becomes kind of a circular question. So I support draft B. I do think that that they qualify for the media exemption. So I agree with my colleague Commissioner McGann. I also agree that they are that one of the comments that was submitted by counsel was that. That draft B owed it, the original draft B owed it to do an analysis under the bona fide commercial activity exemption, and we did that as well, and I think that they qualify under that. So there are a number of points on which A and B, where we find agreement, but unfortunately on media exemption we don't, and there are a few others as well. But that's all I have to say. I support draft B. I don't know if there's any other discussion. Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think there is a number of areas where there's overlap, so I would hope it's at an appropriate time we could ask Council to put those together for us so we can provide the requester with much an answer as we can. I can't get there on the media exemption, and I'm guided by what the Act starts with. And the language of the Act says that it applies to news commentaries and editorials that were distributed through facilities of broadcasting stations, newspapers, magazines, or other periodical publications. And the Commission has certainly, expanded that to particular entities, and I think you're right when dealing with traditionally political organizations has looked at things like track record. But from my perspective, there have to be some boundaries. And that track record is also a good indicator, even when we're not dealing with a political organization, of what the entity really is. Because I think it is sort of it's a hard question. There are a lot of different forms of media entities. I think, that we sometimes use the word press entity, sometimes use the word media entity. I think if you go back to the language of the Act, it was focusing more on what I guess in my view is sort of more traditional press about commentating, editorializing, running news stories. So I don't think this is like Malothe, where we have someone who hasn't done it yet but is planning the entire endeavor to be about commentary and news and those sorts of things. So while I can't get there on the media or press exemption side, I do agree that this is a bona fide commercial activity of a commercial entity, and that of course provides you with not quite as broad exclusions from the disclosure and some of those requirements, but certainly does provide a significant amount of your activity, including the production of the movie itself, as being removed from the disclosure provisions. So, Mr. Chairman, I think that, like I said, at the appropriate time, I would hope we could ask our counsel's office to put together the combined draft so that the requester can have an answer.
Any further discussion? Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I should have said this earlier. I think the areas of disagreement really only go to disclosure, and I think the Supreme Court has demonstrated that they are comfortable with the notion of disclosure, even as applied to movies. So that further supports my support for draft day.
May I comment about that, Commissioner Weintraub?
I don't have a question.
Okay. Actually, Mr. Chair, if I could, I was going to say, do you agree with that, Mr. Goodman? Because I Supreme Court's not a policy-making body. They don't announce policy preference, nor do they instruct. I've heard this. The Supreme Court wants disclosure. Well, no, they've upheld stuff on the books, but that doesn't mean all the other stuff doesn't somehow also come into play. Is that an accurate statement of what the Supreme Court has done?
Oh. Well, what I want to point out is it's quite remarkable that a bona fide filmmaker is going to be regulated and have to disclose his budget his advertising budget to a government agency to engage in First Amendment freedom when what Congress said the media exemption was supposed to do was provide an unfettered right. And it's not just about disclosure. The implications or the consequences of failure to recognize the press exemption here is not just a consequence of disclosing. There are very important rights that that RG Entertainment and Motive and Freestyle do not have recognized. And it's not just about filing an FEC Form 5 when they advertise the film. CBS News and Washington Post, bona fide press entities, have much greater First Amendment rights to coordinate with candidates. They regularly meet with candidates in order to craft their news stories, write editorials, and those types of things. Citizens United, among the types of distribution that it represented it would do was for free. It will give its films to groups on college campuses and what have you. The commercial vendor exemption won't allow RG Entertainment to give its film away for free to a group because then it's not operating for profit. And so this goes beyond merely disclosure. These are very important substantive rights, and of course there's a chill factor as well if you're not recognized as a press exemption. And the factors that you have to fit within the commercial vendor exemption are highly subjective. There are many of them. And so any chill, and a chill is distinctly a violation or limitation of First Amendment rights, because you're trying constantly to fit and keep yourself within the four corners of the factors of the commercial vendor exemption. So I want the commission to just recognize that this is not just about filing an FEC Form 5.
Commissioner McGann.
And on the, even on the disclosure part, at least in draft B, it's question number 9. I don't know if we, because there's so many, you get into the media exemption and all this, it becomes, the questions, how you number them becomes its own sort of subjective multi-factor numbering system. But if you're saying the film's not express advocacy, and we don't know that because I didn't realize, I guess, maybe my office did know, but I don't recall knowing that we actually could watch the film. It's tough to even say that there would be an independent expenditure report due. Even if the film were express advocacy, it seems to me the media exemption should include activity that is a natural part of disseminating a film. You know, you can imagine the movie theaters having to file independent expenditure reports. That just doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense, because, you know, if a newspaper decided to license your client's film and show it to their reporters in a theater on the hopes that the reporter may write a story, I don't think anyone would say that would require an independent expenditure report. If a blogger wanted to license a movie and show it to 100 of his blogger friends, I would think that's a closer call for some, but I think folks would say that's probably not something that warrants a Form 5. But if the blogger does it as a private citizen and doesn't call himself a blogger and invites the same 100 people, but they're not invited as bloggers but as private citizens, somehow that might trigger an independent expenditure report. That seems to be counter to so much of what the courts have said about you can't, you know, no one has special rights. There's case law that says parties have some different kind of rights that are unique to parties, but really, whether you're a corporation or an individual or a newspaper reporter or a blogger, the First Amendment applies, you know, limits the reach of the government consistently. So I just want to flag that. Procedurally, I know we all want to get to lunch and that kind of thing. We're obviously not going to watch the movie today, but in the future, if this sort of thing comes up, I'm more than willing to sit here 90 minutes, watch the movie, and vote on whether or not it contains express advocacy, because that could be an easier answer to what we have as question 9, and it's the more narrow ground, I guess. But I certainly hear you on, you don't want to put it on the website. My sense is having a public showing would be sufficient for public comment, so long as we notified enough folks on the outside in that very public way that that was happening. Cumbersome. I don't think the commission's ever done it, but that doesn't mean we couldn't. And this may come up more and more and more. Folks may actually want to come in and ask, is this movie, is this film, is this short documentary or long 3 or 4 minute ad express advocacy or not, because that is an important concept for the reporting regime. So I just wanted to flag that. And since you're not conceding it's express advocacy, there really isn't much point in asking questions about whether an independent expenditure report is due, because my guess is if you don't think it's express advocacy, you're not going to be filing an independent expenditure report.
With one exception, under draft A, if RG Entertainment pays to broadcast the trailer for this film. Now, the trailer is public, and we've given you the link on the internet for that. It's www.iwantyourmoney.net, and you can watch, I think, I don't know if it's a 30-second or 1 minute trailer. Federal candidates do appear in the trailer. Representative McClintock, Representative McCotter were interviewed as part of the documentary, and the clips appear in the trailer. Nancy Pelosi's picture appears in the trailer. And under draft A, RG Entertainment is being told that it will have to file an FEC Form 5 to report its electioneering communication if that trailer is advertised on broadcast media within 60 days of the November 2nd election in the relevant geographic markets where those candidates appear. And so one question that has not been answered in either draft A or draft B is whether the MESA partners, who are the marketing and promotion partners, and whether Freestyle, the distribution company, may be entitled to the media exemption. The MESA partners joined the request. There's lots of information about Freestyle that is under contract to RG Entertainment to distribute its film. Those companies do have track records of distributing documentary films. And those are set forth, and their websites are provided and the information provided to you. But in some cases, a marketing company might pay to advertise the film, or a distribution company might pay.
And that may or may not come within the commercial exemption, depending on how
they would be doing it for commercial purpose. So I assume they would, under the where there appears to be agreement here, I think they would probably be entitled. Everyone's doing this for a profit. Certainly, the distribution and motive are doing this for a profit. And the question, though, is whether they may be independently entitled to the media exemption because they have a license to advertise the film and to move the film out into theaters. And they have track records of promoting documentary films, for example. The difficulty we face, obviously, here is when we read other advisory opinions. Maloth, Fired Up, Showtime, for example. But particularly Maloth and Fired Up are brand new media entities with no track record. Okay? And we have provided far more detailed information about what RG Entertainment has done historically. It's a company that's been in existence for over 5 years. It makes legitimate films, dramatic films. We can debate whether they make social commentary about good and evil and Lucifer and the fight. We can debate those things. We can debate whether Oliver Twist is social commentary, for example.
Can I ask you, can we, though? I mean, can the government really make that
decision? Well, I don't think you should, but I'm engaging Commissioner Weintraub that we could have that debate.
Just because it's a bad movie doesn't mean it's not a movie. And I'm not saying movies are bad. I haven't seen them, but
But we have provided far more detail about this bona fide media entity than was presented to the commission in the Maloth AO and in the Fired Up AO. And this company has far more track record. I mean, Maloth had not even started, didn't even have its internet TV station up and operating when it came to the commission. And all it told the commission was, here are possible subjects that we're going to cover. And here's what we're likely going to do. I encourage you to read the advisory opinion request in the Maloth AO. And then compare the detail that you have on RG Entertainment on producing dramatic films, as well as a concrete film that it brought to you. We actually submitted a copy of the film to the General Counsel's office. But my point is, it's concrete. We have a documentary, and we have plans to make dramatic and documentary films in the future. And we have even told the commission, there is one exception I have with Draft Day on its accuracy. It says that we've merely told the commission what distribution methods we may use in the future. And I think that's a misconception of our request. We have laid out all of the distribution methods that we're going to use on RG Entertainment, for I Want Your Money, and we've said we're going to use those methods in future films. The only time we used the word may was to say among the category of distribution methods that we have identified for I Want Your Money, we may pick and choose among those for future films, but they're all fairly standard. Pre-theatrical releases, promotional screenings to build a buzz, theatrical releases. I mean, we're a film company. We know we're going to be releasing films in theaters. Post-theatrical release, DVD sales, and what have you. There's nothing conjectural about the methods we're going to use. In fact, if you compare the methods that we say we're going to use for our future political documentaries, it's far more detailed and limited than what Citizens United presented to the commission. Citizens United laid on you all a long litany of things, including free screenings on college campuses and renting out the John F. Kennedy Center. I mean, they covered the gamut of any way you could show a film. Ours are far more limited than that. So if there's one exception I do have with the accuracy of Draft A in reflecting what we've requested, we bring to you a very concrete company with a website. Maloth didn't even have a website. In fact, there was some back and forth between the General Counsel's office and the counsel for the requester and Maloth saying, because we can't find any public information about Maloth, can you tell us a little bit more about the company? We have a website. We're incorporated. We've been incorporated for 5 years. We have track record of making actual films. We used, under MCFL, the same facilities for those films as this film. We didn't go, use different facilities. We are using the same distribution channels. That's another thing that MCFL, the Supreme Court, focused on. So you have a far more concrete presentation here about what this company is all about. Ray Griggs is a member of the Directors Guild of America and the Screen Actors Guild. He's not an upstart. And you have far more concrete, detailed information about what this company has done in the past. You have an actual film that he's produced right here in front of you, fully described to you, and we tried to give you a copy of it. And because he's a small independent film producer, no, he doesn't have a script for his next documentary, but I can represent to you the future documentaries will be similar in form and shape and content. He's a libertarian. Okay? They're going to be about libertarian issues, libertarian economic issues. American exceptionalism, they're going to cover the same types of topics. You have far more information here than you had in Fired Up and Maloth. And I know I've probably overspoken my welcome. Thank you.
Appreciate that comment. Commissioner McGann.
Appreciate that answer to my question. For me, all that's great, but whether you had a track record or not, it seems to me that that's, as the chairman said, a red herring, and I think about, Steven Spielberg was a nobody, and he got some money to do a movie about a shark that went over budget, and the studio was ready to pull it, and who's this kid, never directed before, turned out to be Jaws, and all of a sudden everybody had to have a Jaws. So, first time, sometimes you get lucky on the first movie, sometimes you get lucky on the 10th movie, sometimes it never works out, but... when I hear, we need some, limits on the media kind of thing. And that it just, to me, puts the cart before the horse, like boundaries. We need some boundaries. The other point I wanted to make, and I don't know if there's any appetite for this in the future, but, my staff passed me a note that that no, they were not informed either by Office General Counsel that you made the offer for us to view the movie in like a one-time public viewing. And if there's an email or something I didn't see, I apologize, but no one on my staff seems to have any knowledge of this firsthand. So in the event this comes up again, I wonder if the other commissioners think that would be sufficient for our ability to give the public an opportunity to comment on what we're doing or not. It's frustrating for me to think that there was the offer made and it wasn't conveyed. Maybe it was conveyed to the chair. I don't know. No, drawing a blank. Because I think if that sort of thing's made, I think it's up to the commission to decide what we want to do. Maybe the commission doesn't want to watch the movie, and if that's the consensus, so be it. But I think that should at least be our choice. That's just my thought. Others may disagree. OGC may disagree. Maybe they think it's their choice. But I think it's the commission's choice, particularly when one of the questions is, do you have to file a report? And at this point, no matter which draft ends up carrying the day, or if it goes 3-3 or 6-0 or everyone abstains, you're left with the same problem of not knowing actually whether you have to file certain reports, because it's tough to say without knowing the content. But I respect your client's wish to not go massively public, but appreciate their willingness to at least allow a public viewing so we can at least reach the issue.
Yeah, Commissioner McGann, I want to thank Amy Rothstein and Peter Reynolds and Jessica Selenkoff. They worked through a lot of difficult issues with us, and they were nimble, they were receptive, they were open with me about the issues that we needed to address, and I just want to say that we worked through some difficult issues, and I want to thank them and the General Counsel's office in this matter.
Commissioner Walther.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to follow up on Commissioner McGann, I'd be interested. I did call down for the CD, the DVD, and I was told by the time I called down, you had decided to waive any consideration by us as to whether or not it was express advocacy or not. But I was interested in doing that. I did look at the trailer, and I assume it's representative, and it was interesting, but not enough to make it a conclusion. But I think it would be a good idea for us to be able to. We go down the path, and all of a sudden we might be a film screening agency, and I'm getting a little worried about where this might lead us. But in this particular case, of course, I was interested to look at it, and I think maybe we ought to take you up on it, or others who want to, and say, okay, for those of the public, an AO request is out there. We're going to look at the film at a certain time. You want to come and see it, at least there's notice. And then I think we may have fulfilled APA requirements at that point. I probably would. So I'd be open to that.
Commission, we provided the film of an online password-protected version of it, and I offered a CD as well. However, by the time you must have called, I had had discussions with the General Counsel's office, and they informed us that I could not submit it in camera, and that a public screening was not acceptable, that it would have to be screened online to the public for public participation reasons. And it was at that point that we said, well, we can't go that far, so let's work out an alternative method to get us an advisory opinion.
I see. Well,
this discussion about possible screening makes me recall a number of years ago when I read Bob Woodward's The Brethren. For the first time, the Supreme Court used to set aside a day or two each term to examine the merits of a different sort of film to determine their legality or illegality. And maybe the agency will develop a similar tradition. Maybe much less, certainly much less salacious. But I don't know. Maybe in the minds of some, maybe this is more dangerous than that. But
you know it when you see it.
So
this isn't it. Or we could just stick with Buckley, and we wouldn't have to really have a whole holistic approach to whether it feels like it's advocacy or not. But
so, any further, Commissioner Weintraub?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not to belabor this point, we had a little bit of back and forth on what Citizens United did or didn't say about disclosure, particularly with respect to movie ads. I appreciate my staff pulled for me the the actual quote. Citizens United, the party, Citizens United, this is a quote from the opinion, disputes that an informational interest justifies the application of Section 201 to its ads, which only attempt to persuade viewers to see the film. Even if it disclosed the funding sources for the ads, Citizens United says the information would not help viewers make informed choices in the political marketplace. This is similar to the argument rejected above with respect to disclaimers. Even if the ads only pertain to a commercial transaction, the public has an interest in knowing who is speaking about a candidate shortly before an election. So, I mean, I think that the court actually was pretty clear about that. And I appreciate the arguments that you've made. I appreciate you coming in here and talking to us. And I think you've said some interesting and informative and some sense even compelling arguments. But I think on balance, I'm going to stick with draft A.
Any further discussion? If not, do we have a motion? Commissioner Hunter.
I move the approval of agenda document number 10-63-B, which is revised draft B.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
No.
The motion fails 3-3 with Commissioners McGann, Hunter, and myself in favor, and Commissioners Walther, Weintraub, and the Vice Chair opposed. Do we have a further motion? Vice Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I move approval of agenda document number 10-63A, which is revised draft A.
All right. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? No.
No.
The motion fails by a vote of 3-3 with Commissioner Walther, Weintraub, and the Vice Chair in favor, and Commissioners McGann, Hunter, and myself opposed. At this point, I think then we would like to instruct the General Counsel to come up with a draft that kind of finds where the overlap is. And from my overview of the two drafts, it appears that we agree on the application of the bona fide commercial activity exemption, that the films do not require disclaimers, and that if individuals, corporations, or Ms. Parker were to use funds, their own funds, to obtain a licensing fee, and if Ms. Parker attends, that those would not be considered campaign contributions to Ms. Parker. And on the matters where we disagree appears to be on the media exemption, whether the ads for the film are considered electionary communications and thus require reporting, and whether or not licensing fees paid by individuals for a film that contains express advocacy, whether or not those would require independent expenditure reports. Vice Chair.
Thank you. I think that reflects broadly the areas of agreement. I think that there was just one issue with respect to if individuals pay for a screening and Ms. Parker does appear and solicits money or discusses her campaign or it turns into a campaign-related activity.
The answers to those were
okay.
Exactly the same.
I just wanted to clarify. Thank you.
Yep. And I know that this is under expedited review. I believe that runs on Tuesday. So we'll need that draft obviously quickly so that, and if we need to do it on an abbreviated tally on no later than Tuesday, that's how we'll proceed. So thank you very much, Mr. Goodman.
Thank you very much.